You segue into this next segment. Joining us now from the greater Northfield area, from here in town, we have Griff Wigley with us, longtime friend of KYMN Radio, sitting in our studios. Griff, good morning.
Morning, Jeff.
Thank you.
It's like old home week, being back in this studio back 10 years, 12
yeah, it's
years.
Be
we were
at
doing
least...
locally grown here.
Yeah, for
Tracy
a lot
and
of
Ross
years.
And
it's
I
been a while.
The podcast, yeah.
And I don't know if those are available in cyberspace somewhere or not, but you guys did a great job of documenting or at least talking about some of the things going on in Northfield back in the 2000s, early 2010s.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Stirring things up.
Yeah. The studios have changed a little bit since then.
I know. And now you're embracing this weird technology called podcasting. That's pretty cool.
You did that long before. Hey, let's talk about why we had you in there. We've talked quite a bit on the show with various people, city officials and such, about the proposed street and road projects for 2023. And I guess they're not really proposed anymore because they have been approved. But there is a reverse referendum going on that would like to recall parts of that, including bike lanes, in your neighborhood.
My neighborhood.
In your neighborhood. And you have offered to come on and give a, I don't know if it'd be a countering point of view, but offer some insight from your perspective. Is that true to say?
That's true. I'm not a zealot though. So it's I'm kind of in this in between stage where I agree with some of it and I disagree with other parts of it. But I had to laugh when my neighbor Todd Zender last week said, you know, we have the zealots and we have the rational people, and we think we're the rational people. So I guess I'll leave it up to Todd and Gary Frecking about whether I'm a rational person or not. But I do have some other perspectives. And I've got a kind of a conflict of interest. You should ask me, Griff, what are your conflicts of interest?
Please do tell.
So the first one is Robbie and I bought a camper a couple years ago, a little 16-foot Airstream that we park, guess where? In our driveway. And guess where the proposed off-street two-way bikeway is going to go?
In your driveway.
Right where we park our camper. So we'll have to find someplace else. But yeah, so it's like, okay, I suppose we can do that. I think the other conflict of interest I have is I know I have granddaughters living in town. My oldest son and family moved here to escape the pandemic in New Jersey, and they never moved back. So I can see some advantages to the bikeway for my young granddaughters as they grow older. So, and actually, Robbie, too, you know, she's older than me, and she's a reluctant biker. So I think having better bike infrastructure citywide is a good thing, and I have a self-interest in that. Not really for me, because I'm one of those people that acts like I'm driving a motorcycle in town when I'm on a bicycle. So I'm part of that 1% assertive assertive bikers.
He's the guy that if you see a guy riding a bike going vroom vroom, that's him. That's great.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think the there's just maybe a handful of points that I wanted to talk about. This idea of taking of yards and driveways for this off-street two-way bikeway that is proposed, and it's always a tough thing. You see this when sidewalks are going to go into homes, to residential neighborhoods where there weren't sidewalks originally built. And now people feel like, really, you're going to put a sidewalk across my yard? And in this case, it's all on city property. It's all on city property. So I hear this a lot about, you know, it's a major intrusion on our yards and our driveways. And actually, it's not the case. It's all going to be done on city right-of-way. And in fact, the city's...
Is that city right-of-way not part of their lawn?
Well, sure. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying. But it's like when people object to having trees cut down in front of their house to make room for a sidewalk, it feels like, well, that's our yard. That's our yard. Mm-hmm. It's actually not your yard. It's city right-of-way. It's boulevard property. And in this case, the city's actually proposing to realign the whole street to make more room. So it's one of those things you kind of understand. I know it feels like they're taking our yard and our driveway, but it's actually not our land. And I think that's a...
Yeah, but at the same time, they would say, okay, now where is our land? Is there another right-of-way that they're going to impose upon us after they build this? Will it be, you know, 8 more feet going closer to our house? Where does the right of way begin and end? You know what?
I think the boundaries are pretty clear, and I guess at some point you have to trust city officials when they say we're not going to take your land. You know, I mean, it would be a big deal if they took our property, and I think there'd be a huge fight about that, but they're not proposing to do that. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was safety, because I think this is a issue that's on everybody's mind. For me even, but especially for average bikers, safety is a big issue, not just for this project, but in general. And it's part of it's texting drivers and being afraid of that. Rhonda mentioned, I think Mayor Rhonda Polnell mentioned last year there was a couple of deaths in town from bikers being hit. I don't know the circumstances around those deaths, to whether that's relevant or not. I do know my buddy Father Denny, former pastor at St. Dominic, was killed by a driver up in the Twin Cities. So it's just on everybody's mind, and I think city officials are right to sort of be concerned about safety from that point of view. As far as the project goes, I think we're all concerned about the speed on Lincoln and Heritage, because a lot of people don't know it's kind of a back way to the school, to the middle school and Bridgewater. So when people are trying to avoid the congestion on the other side of town coming into those schools, they take our streets. And so it's kind of a throughway that is worrisome already. And so I think the part of what we're all hoping for is changes to the street that lower the speeds. We can talk about the Bryant Avenue project up in Minneapolis, but I was surprised when I read that Star Tribune article that there were complaints about having to back out of the driveway and worry about pedestrians and bikers. I think that wasn't mentioned. I understand my neighbors are worried about that, but if you stand there and you pretend you're backing out, the sight lines are really pretty good. So I'm not so worried about that. The one thing I would be worried about going down 10 years, 5 years down the road is a proliferation of e-bikes. I see this already on the East Cannon River Trail. E-bikers oftentimes are going really fast. 20 miles an hour is what these bikes typically can do, and that's way too fast on East Cannon River Trail, and I think it's way too fast on the bikeway that's proposed. So what can be done about that in the future, I don't know, but that would also be a concern of mine.
Griff Wigley is our guest right now. He's talking about some of the concerns he has and some of the concerns he doesn't have with the proposed changes in the road project. And this is once again in the Lincoln Street South area, the townhomes that are along there. And that has been the genesis of a reverse referendum going on right now. So Griff, go ahead and continue.
Yeah, so Gary and Todd, my neighbors who I like, and I actually had coffee with Gary, I think the morning after you had him in the studio, but they mentioned this Bryant Street project in Minneapolis. Where I went up there last week and took video and photos of it and stuff. So it's not quite apples to apples comparison. I think to me the lesson is humility. The city of Minneapolis is apologizing. They screwed up this project. And, they made the streets too narrow, and so people couldn't back out onto the streets. Emergency vehicles couldn't get through. They screwed up. They are moving ahead with the project. I went up there. They're heading further north on new construction with a better design. They have not yet decided to do how to fix the current one. So I know, I think Gary or Todd said they're tearing it out. Well, they're not tearing it out yet, or they may They've got to do something, but I'm not sure what that is. But so, yeah, could the city be wrong about this? It's possible. The city could be wrong about bikeways. Could the citizens be wrong about this? Yeah, the citizens, you know, it could be kind of like Ben Martig mentioned about roundabouts. It's like there were a lot of opposition to roundabouts early on, and now pretty much everybody accepts roundabouts. Is that a valid comparison? I'm not sure, but it's hard to predict the future on stuff like that. So, and I certainly was wrong about the internet. I thought it could only be used for good. You know, it's like, whoops, never mind. Okay, so that's one thing. The one thing I think the city's kind of missing the boat on, and I hear this in other places, is there's not been enough emphasis on this idea of how can we increase the number of trips in town. So this, the bikeway is not just for commuters. It's not just getting people out recreationally. But I think what other cities have found is they're an effective way to increase the number of trips. Now, what do I mean by that? So in our neighborhood, what you have, or that part of town, you have the schools at one end, kind of at the east end of town. You got the middle school, the high school, Bridgewater, and Spring Creek Elementary, and 50 North, the senior center. So you've got this huge residential area with lots of kids, lots of people working at those facilities on one end. And on the other hand, the West End, what do you have? You have this huge commercial area. We used to call it Southfield or Dunfield, Dundas and Northfield, right? So you've got, you know, you've got Menards, you've got Cub, you've got Target, you've got all these shopping and restaurants and all the people that work at them. So you have these two major residential areas with two major purposes. And this route through Heritage Drive and Adams over to Roosevelt, it's a major corridor. So the idea is, I think, how can we increase the number of people using bicycle for everyday trips, for shopping, for eating, for dining, for groceries, and just working at these facilities? So it's out of nine months of the year, how can we increase the number of people taking trips for everyday kind of thing? And that's kind of the major impetus, I think, for this kind of project. I know Todd says, how many people are you going to have getting groceries in January? I think, you know, one. But that's all the stuff in Northfield is weather dependent. I mean, the swimming pool's only open for 3 months of the year. We only use the hockey ice stuff for a few months of the year. You know, there's all, you know, the Seckler ball fields are only used a few months of the year. So there's always kind of this seasonal discrepancy, you know, what do you spend money on? And I think if I asked you, Jeff, do you own a bicycle?
I do.
Okay. So just about everybody in town from the ages of 5 to 80 owns a bicycle. And I think the city's challenge is how do you get people using them more for everyday uses? And that's kind of the conundrum right now. It's not for people like me or the 1% bicycle zealots mm-hmm. out there. It's for the people who are afraid right now and don't use them for trips. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think the city's messaging has not been great on that, but that's my contribution.
You know, and I signed the reverse referendum because the problem I have is it seems like a lot of infrastructure for a small area that doesn't necessarily need that. And we're looking at, you know, property taxes that have increased by 50% in the last 4 years. And we're building more infrastructure that's going to take more maintenance, more long-term maintenance. And is that, you know, how necessary is that? Is that, that's kind of a low traffic volume area. And boy, you know, we're looking at, are we going to be looking at double digits just continuing in our property taxes over the course of the next couple of years? Is there anywhere we could be saving it? So that's why I signed it. It seemed like unnecessary infrastructure. Yeah, and I'm all for safety, and I have no problem with bike lanes. Yeah, paint them onto the road. That road is already plenty wide. That's a wide road to begin with.
Yeah, so I'm not so smart about the money situation. I grant you it's expensive. And in the scheme of things, I'm not sure. But when you look back at the history of the council, there's been a long history of planning for this and public support for it. I mean, you look at the people who've run for council and got reelected over the years, and part of their support for, you know, bike plan after bike plan after bike plan, improving it, trying to get it better, trying to get it better. So there's been a long history of council support for it, and opposition too. I have to give my hats off to the Davids, David Lutischer and David DeLong, that pretty much fought this all the way along. But there's been much more council support for their opponents than for them on this issue. So I grant you it's a concern, and I don't, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be kind of partially retired and happy in life. So it's like the taxes aren't killing me personally, but I grant you that is a valid point. On the other hand, the council sort of saying, whenever we redo a street, let's try and take advantage of it. Let's save money by doing bike infrastructure whenever we redo a street, and eventually we'll have a network that everybody can appreciate. But yeah, in the short run, Jeff, it's pricey. I grant you that.
We are just about out of time, Griff, but I'll give you one final thought. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, so I think the one of the things that appealed to me initially was there is a bike path that goes around Hidden Valley Pond from point A to point B that's exactly the same route as the proposed bikeway from point A to point B. And it was Robbie's idea, actually, when we were discussing this online with our neighbors. It's like, why don't we just route this around? So that, it's a nice thing to have. We can, you know, if the bikeway's not done, I think people can still ride that route. I think from the city's point of view, bike paths like that through parks convey recreational use. Whereas street, on-street bike ways, off-street bikeways convey trips. And I think the city sees this as an opportunity, even with that route around through Hidden Valley Park on the bike path, they see this as an opportunity to say, this is going to get us further along the road, the road of infrastructure that conveys to people, we're serious about trips and we're serious about safety, and this is one way to do it. Let's see if it works.
All right.
I'm trying to be humble, because I'm not 100% sure it's going to work, but I think it's a valid pitch.
All right. Well, Griff, thank you so much for coming in. It's always good talking to you.
Likewise, Jeff.
And you'll have to think of more reasons to come on the air with
us. So I do, because Tracy and I have taken back control of Northfield.org.
Oh, have you?
Okay. And we are scheming to figure out what we've been scheming for 3 years to figure out what we're going to do. So I will be back.
Let's talk.
Okay.
All right. Griff Wigley here on 95.1 FM and AM 1080 KYMA.